This is Proud Consciousness, a podcast series on the fundamentals of the progressive utilization theory, Prout. The series is presented by Prabhakar Overland.
Welcome to episode 12 of Proud Consciousness, where we will be looking at the second fundamental principle of the progressive utilization theory, which reads, there should be maximum utilization and rational distribution of all mundane, supramundane, and spiritual potentialities of the universe. Earlier in the series, it was discussed that we human beings carry behavioral patterns weaved from very long evolutionary threads. Such hereditary trends and tendencies may serve us well in our search for securing stability and generating renewed progress, but may also lead to traditionalism and the formation of barriers between people that eventually allow for disparities and conflict to set in. Take, for instance, racism. Various petty conflicts between groups of humans led to the rise and establishment of racism. Racism became a dogma in line with numerous religious, social, political, economic, and other dogmas. Environment, culture, and even educational and other social institutions have been main conduits of racism and other dogmas. Dogmas are ideas stating, this is the end of thought. There is no further truth. Quite often, the limitations that dogmas want to impose are backed up by taboos and even threats, like, if you think otherwise, you are a sinner, deserving to be burnt at the stake. This happened to Giordano Bruno in the year 1600 in Roma, where he refused to give in to dictatorship of the dogmatic church. In fact, we are all subjected to various dogmas imposed on us by social and other conventions. For instance, a recent economic dogma says that nobody should interfere with the right to unlimited private property. Similarly, a socioeconomic dogma indicates that some people are classified as refugees and others as permanent citizens, and to this effect, visa is required to travel on this planet. Prout does not accept such dogmas. Instead, it promotes universalism, seeking the optimum synergy of needs and potentialities, resulting in progressive dynamics and not stagnancy and retardation. For the maximum utilization and rational distribution of all types of wealth, it is necessary to identify and stamp out dogmas in any area of human concern and replace them with liberating ideas that support all living beings in their effort to progress and attain fullness of life. How can truly liberating ideas be realized in a world of limitations? In the preceding episode, it was discussed that the physical world is defined by its limitations, and that the reality of the limited physical is termed crude. One feature of the physically crude is that it is communicated to us via the sensory, by sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. All mundane wealth are crude and register via our physical senses. Mundane means worldly, of the physical world. Beyond that, whatever we find in nature that is subtler and more expansive than the mundane, Prout terms it as supramundane. Dewdrops on a plant leaf reflecting sunlight. The delights of a forest walk. The majesty of a large mountain. The grace of birds in flight against gloriously lit skies. And a rainbow's vibrant wonder are all of supramundane nature. The supramundane is more of a subjective experience than objective fact. Several persons may watch those birds taking flight. One of them may appreciate the science of the birds' flying formation. Another may wonder at the poetry of their white plumage ascending against dark, ominous clouds. A third spectator may rejoice in the bird's ecological presence, and so on. The excitement of the emergence of initial metaphysical ideas of constructing a flying machine upon seeing birds in flight would be of supramundane nature too. To recurring passengers being transported by an aircraft today may register as a pretty mundane affair, but the very first experience of it would appear supramundane to most. Being of such subjective, subtle nature, the supramundane stands out and is perhaps akin to what the American psychologist-scientist Abraham Maslow termed as human peak experience. The specialty of the supramundane is its link with fundamental spiritual existence and the various ways it keeps inspiring the arts, the sciences, and the human effort itself. The third main sphere of Prout's socioeconomics is the spiritual. It is totally subjective and absolute, beyond the relativities of time, place, and person. Totally subjective means that no objective factor comes into it. The spiritual is beyond any socioeconomic and other factor, such as sex, the ethnic, physical and psychic capacities, etc. It is our inherent oneness and greatness, our belonging beyond time and place, one and the same for all. The border area between the supramundane and the spiritual is termed as psycho-spiritual. It is the key area of human spiritual effort to which other righteous, uplifting, and liberating efforts are related. Among them, our theory of progressive utilization. What exactly is the spiritual, then? This Latin word pertains to an ancient idea of a universal breath, spirit, of fundamental or divine existence expressing itself while flowing endlessly throughout the creation from eternity to eternity. Modern science defines it as pure consciousness of which all of creation is manifested. Numerous words are used to describe its nature: eternal, boundless, limitless, blissful, the first cause, and many more. This ultimate reality is all-pervading, ever-present, true for all of us, and beyond any personal, spatial, and temporal differences. While some occupy mainly one, or at the most two, of these main spheres of existence, all of us have it in us to progress in all three of them. And even those of us who live mostly in, say, the physical world, may nurture dreams and desires of expanding our existence into the psychic and the spiritual. In the living being, there is a thirst for limitlessness, commented the propounder of Prout, Sri Prabhat Ranjan Sarkar. The search of living beings for fulfillment goes on in all three spheres of existence. It may be asked, how would the spiritual, which is largely abstract to most of us, be part of socioeconomics? The old Greek word oikonomia means household management. So what kind of household is Prout that includes the spiritual? Well, the concept of spiritual habitat is rather ancient, actually. The great master and early propounder of human society and culture, Sadashiva, lived thousands of years ago in India. Sadashiva opined that cosmic consciousness is our father, the cosmic force of creation is our mother, and the threefold physical, psychic, and spiritual world is our home. Prout's socioeconomics is in agreement. The human search for proper management of the vast, diverse household of all living beings goes beyond the isolated physical or psychic to embrace the spiritual and all of that threefold existence. Does Sprout then recognize those subtle and sublime potentialities because they are of real benefit to physical socioeconomics, or is Sprout part of some sect that glorifies the supramundane and the spiritual, perhaps at the expense of mundane life and pleasures? Obviously, the reality projected by a system reflects on the values of that system. Capitalism is driven by individual enterprise, socialism by visions of equality. So, what is it that makes Prout tick? The core values of Proutist socioeconomics are neither particularly personal or social. They view both self and society, individuality and collectivity, through the fourfold lens of expansion, flow, service, and attainment. Expansion means expanding one's individual and collective being. Both for the primitive and the sophisticated, expansion of mental and intuitional faculties is fundamental to development and success. Flow involves practical life and its continuous adjustment with variety and change to function well and purposefully in a diverse and ever-changing world. For its continuous sustenance, one's life flow requires a purpose both here and now and beyond. Every person and society should have both short-term, medium-term, and also long-term goals to keep one's motivation and willpower flowing. Service means the realization of subtler individual and collective potentialities, such as compassion, selflessness, conscience, and presence. Service can be performed in all spheres of life, at work, at home, in society, and in any area of concern, security, economy, education, and so on. Attainment is the common factor of all human efforts, the universal, multiple, and supreme goal of life. To attain the sum of all progress is the desire and wish of all, and the natural outcome of a life lived well. Human beings are eager to expand their existence, be in flow, render service, and attain greatness. With the increasing realization of the subtle and sublime, people would no longer run after physical resources mostly, but first of all use their world wisely in order to realize all of it. Episode 14 discusses the need for adjusting human activity and environmental resources properly. Here, we may simply note that Prout does not claim or explain the supramundane and the spiritual. Other philosophies and practices do that. What Prout does is to enable all to progress in those spheres too, to develop and move steadily, not only in the physical world, but towards still more comprehensive fulfillment. The supramundane and spiritual keep feeding that process. They provide subtler and sublime sustenance and nourishment outside of the limited physical. Reciprocally, when properly managed, the physical world provides the basis for further subtle and sublime progress that the physical itself cannot provide. Both the crude and what lies beyond it are mutual and integral to the all-round progress of living beings. Without the subtle and sublime, the isolated crude soon enough becomes a dismal affair, like food without salt, an army devoid of discipline, intellectuals with no sense of inquiry, and commerce bankrupted of quality goods and services, life deprived of the subtle psychic and sublime spiritual is pointless. The meaning of life is continuous progress towards still greater attainment of all that life has to offer. And therefore, it is impossible and inhuman to remain caught in the bondage of something limited. the subtle and sublime certainly come to play significant roles wherever learning, training, research, conceptualization, morality, creativity, aesthetics, civilization, and culture continue to enrich human life. This much about Prout's maximum utilization. Now we turn to examine the theory's concept of rational distribution of wealth. First, let us remind ourselves that various systems have their particular ways of distributing wealth and resources. Most people are somehow familiar with the distribution models of capitalism and socialism. The way of capitalism is by market speculation. Goods and services are distributed at prices set to generate a maximum of owner profit, and those prices fluctuate according to notions of supply and demand within capitalism's spectrum of private economic exploitation. Socialism, on the other hand, has economic equality as its delusory ideal. But as already discussed, the physical and psychic worlds offer no equality. Everything is different there. No two things or ideas are exactly alike. Therefore, instead of saying that everybody are entitled to an equal share, Prout states that everybody are equally valuable and should be treated as different members of the same universal family. Equality has nothing to do with the physical and psychic worlds of eternal variation and diversity to which the socioeconomics of Prout relates. Equality is a spiritual truth and not a physical or psychic factor, and wealth should therefore be distributed rationally so as to provide uniquely for each one of us. Prout's model of rational distribution is as follows. First, ensure that everyone is guaranteed the minimum requirements of life. The reason why Prout deems it rational to furnish all with life's minimum necessities is that the universal potentiality of infinite progress is found in all. All of our humanness, our compassion, conscience, and vision informs us about this need to set all on the path of true progress. Second, as the income of people increases, the reach of their minimum requirements should also increase so that the gap between the affluent and the common people is bridged. Third, special amenities should be provided to meritorious persons to enable them to render greater service to society. Prout advises to allocate special wealth for those with special qualities, and such provision of special amenities should serve the common interest and not only benefit a chosen few. 4. Besides increasing the special amenities of meritorious people, a maximum of amenities should be available to common people as well. There will still be a gap between the maximum amenities of the common people and those particular to the meritorious, but there should be constant effort to reduce this gap. What are amenities? Amenities are things that improve the quality of life. They are not equivalent to salary raises and promotions. The word amenity means to fulfill the desire and to make the position easy. Let's say you are a school teacher with too much to do and too little time to prepare for class. If the institution allows you to prepare properly and not only have a packed teaching schedule that fills up all of your work time, it will probably help a lot. This is a basic need, not an amenity. Whereas if you are provided with in-service training, free lunch, easy communication to and from work, and other conveniences, then we are talking amenities. Whatever satisfies our physical and psychic longings, in addition to ensuring life's basic necessities, are amenities. Being a practical theory, Prout seeks the constant increase of socioeconomic dynamics by setting off various forms of amenities against life's minimum necessities and takes the extraordinary social value of the output of the meritorious into account as well. Sri Sarkar offered a few observations. Previously, people used to dig a well to get drinking water, and then they carried the drinking water to their houses. Later, water tanks were constructed, and these days, drinking water comes through pipes. In this way, the amenities of life have increased and life has become easier. The aim to get water is the same, but system of getting it has become much more effortless and more convenient. Another example. Suppose school children receive the minimum requirements of life. If they are provided with free snacks, this amenity will be over and above the minimum requirement. Again, in most trains, there are first and second class compartments. In first class, special facilities are standard. And if free tea, coffee are made available in the second class compartments as well, it will be considered an amenity. A great many people experience considerable stress and strain and should be freed from this tension. For example, rural people worry about their crops. If rains are late or altogether fail, production will suffer. If the climate is too hot or too cold, seasonal crops will be adversely affected. People should be freed from all these stresses and strains. This can be achieved through the provision of supernatural amenities, which can be developed artificially through science and technology. For example, improved agricultural techniques and the construction of small-scale dams to conserve water and improve irrigation can help relieve poor people of stresses and strains in rural areas. So far, Sri Sarkar on amenities. Just now, we discussed the subtle and sublime. Prout is not only a model of universal employment, minimum requirements, maximum amenities for all, and special amenities for the meritorious. It also envisions a time when the struggle for daily subsistence will be much less taxing than at present, and people's lives will be increasingly easier and more enjoyable. In this perspective, both amenities asked for and not asked for will play a role, Sri Sarkar suggested. Amenities that relate to human instincts and desires are amenities asked for. For example, if the residents of a neighborhood or a village decide that they want to repair their main road, it would be an amenity asked for. But if some villages suggest to upgrade the children's playground or, say, beautify their locality in particular ways, then some would perhaps not immediately understand its value until they experience it for themselves. Another example, say there is a particular show rumored to be really wonderful and otherworldly. Your employer offers all employees free tickets to the show, which you enjoy to such an extent that it awakens an entirely new interest and inspiration in you, accompanied by feelings and visions you hardly knew existed. Such a subtle amenity, whose value is understood only after it has emerged as reality, would be an amenity not asked for. As human beings and their society advances, supramundane and psychospiritual amenities not asked for will contribute increasingly to directing individual and collective energies in still more profound and rewarding ways. Among other things, this series offers that Prout promotes limits to private wealth accumulation and universal distribution of wealth towards the minimum necessities of all. Does this make it a form of socialism? No, not if socialism means society for society's sake, and a system where all members of society are placed on equal economic footing. There is no from each according to their ability, to each according to their needs, in Prout. Instead, there is progress for all. Everybody has to put in effort and develop. There is a call for maximum utilization of one's potentialities. This has led some to brand Prout as progressive socialism with emphasis on the concerted effort for all-round progress. However, I prefer not to use the term socialism, but rather progressive social order. At any rate, Prout is not society for society's sake, but society for the sake of individual and collective progress. Evidently, Prout stands for a proper social order, characterized by upright morality, universal participation, and the common goal of all-round progress, and not only some sort of well-being for some. As for the rest, Prout's social ideals has nothing to do with mixed economy, the welfare state, democratic socialism, or materialist socialism for that matter. We conclude this episode with observations by Prout's propounder. When introducing the principle of maximum utilization and rational distribution for the first time in 1959, Sri Sarkar stated, "The minimum requirements of every person are the same, but diversity is also the nature of creation. Special amenities should therefore be provided so that diversity in skill and intelligence is fully utilized and talent is encouraged to contribute its best for human development. It will therefore be necessary to make provision for special emoluments, which can cater for special amenities of life according to the age and times. But at the same time, there should be constant effort to reduce the gap between the amount of special emoluments and the bare minimum requirements of the average individual. The guaranteed supply of minimum requirements must be liberalized by increasing the provision of special amenities pertaining to the age and also simultaneously bringing about a decrease in the provision of special emoluments given to the few." In 1961, Sri Sarkar further stated, "The wealth and resources available in the crude, subtle and coarser worlds should be developed for the welfare of all people. All elemental resources, the solid, the liquid, the luminous, the aerial and the ethereal, should be fully utilized. This endeavor will ensure the maximum development of the universe. There should be rational distribution of the accumulated wealth of humanity. In other words, apart from meeting the indispensable minimum necessities of all, the necessities of meritorious people and those with special requirements must also be met." Quote ended. In this episode of Prout Consciousness, we have examined the second fundamental principle of Prout. There should be maximum utilization and rational distribution of all mundane, supramundane, and spiritual potentialities of the universe. Episode 13 explores Prout's third principle and its call for maximum utilization of individual and collective potentialities. That is all for this episode. Thank you and goodbye for now.
You have been listening to Prout Consciousness, a podcast series on the fundamentals of the progressive utilization theory. All episodes, their texts, as well as further material on Prout, can be found at proutglobe.org/pod. Inquiries communicated via the website will be responded to.